Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's baseball's opening day today. So are the Cubs primed to repeat a World Series victory? Is this the beginning of a dynasty? Will Wrigley Field be ready? Well, for almost 20 years, Andy Mazur has been covering the Cubs and to talk about opening day in baseball. And as the Cubs take on the Cardinals tonight in St. Louis is Andy Mazur from WGN Sports. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
I am fabulous. See, when I hear that song, I think of Andy Mazur doing some pregame coverage. That's what I think about, man.
You know who I think about? I think about Lou Boudreau and Vince Lloyd.
Yeah.
When I hear that song, you know, that's one of those things that takes you back a little bit for the to the old leadoff man and their coverage on WGN.
Those two guys are I actually submitted those two guys to Todd Manley and Stephanie for the Walk of Fame, and both of them are getting in.
It's amazing. I mean, I never got to meet Lou. Okay. I met Vince one time. And it was actually, I'm going to sound like a big name dropper here, but it was at Ron Santo's house in Scottsdale.
Wait a minute. You just beat my story.
Look at you.
Well, I spent a whole baseball game with him in the broadcast booth. Back in the early 70s. And one of my prized possession is the entire package of all their commercials and breaks.
Look at that. And Andy, when did you start covering the Cubs here? Was it 98, something like that?
It was 99.
So yeah. The guys were off the air pretty much, but they were still around. They were still alive, obviously, at that time.
Yeah. And it was weird because it was the day that that Ron found out that he did not get into the Hall of Fame that first time that he thought he'd be in. There was a bunch of people that had gathered at Ronnie's house, and Vince was one of them, and I got to be honest with you, I was nervous.
Oh yeah, I'd be too.
I was kind of shaking a little bit, but what a nice man.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Well, yeah, Walk of Fame was announced last week, and those two gentlemen getting in, very excited about that. And the roster for the Cubs finally was set on Wednesday, and I'm sure things will fluctuate throughout the season, Andy. But you know, here's the roster. I was just looking at this: catchers, Wilson Contreras, Miguel Montero. Infielders are Rizzo, Zobrist, Baez, Russell, Bryant, LaStella. Outfielders, Hayward, Almora, Jay, Schwarber. And I can never pronounce Matt's last name. Is it Caesar?
That's Caesar, yeah. Caesar. All hail Caesar.
I'll remember that. Starting pitchers, Lester, Arrieta, Lackey, Anderson, Hendricks. Relief pitchers are Montgomery, Grimm, Edwards, Strupp, Rondon, O'Hara, and Davis. And let's talk about that pitching team. Are you happy with what you see here?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty much the same starting rotation, with the exception of one guy. Brett Anderson made the starting rotation. He's a guy they picked up, was hurt with the Dodgers, but has been a decent starting pitcher in his career. He got again limited to, I believe, only 4 or 5 starts a year ago. So it's a kind of a low risk signing that they made. And I kind of feel better with Mike Montgomery, who threw the last pitch of the 2016 World Series. He is probably better suited as a starter, but just the value that he showed last year and being able to be a guy that can be depended upon out of the bullpen and, you know, make a spot start. So basically what he does is he takes over the role of, I would say, maybe Travis Wood, who's no longer with them. So it's good to have him out in the pen.
And then Wade Davis begins his Cubs career as a new closer, replacing Chapman, which I have to imagine is going to be no easy assignment there.
Well, no easy assignment, but Wade Davis is no rookie or anything. He pitched in, for the Royals when they won the championship a couple of years ago, and but he's had some injury issues though. But it was one of those signings. It was a trade, you know, that Jorge Soler, one of the surplus in the outfield, went over to Kansas City. And. And Soler's going to begin the season on the disabled list with a strained oblique. So, you know, the Cubs have a good back end of the bullpen again, with Strope and Rondon being healthy. They were a little bit banged up toward the end of last season, which is why they weren't as effective in the playoffs to me. And, you know, you've got Carl Edwards with a full season, and I don't mind it. I think it's actually a pretty good pitching staff.
And then you got Schwarber's back, and I look at this and I think about, you know, he was obviously in for the playoffs, but he was out 158 games last year, and he was looking great at the end of last season, and I'm sure we'll see more of him, of course, this year.
Yeah, how about this? He had no hits in the regular season last year, and then hits in the World Series.
I know, right? That's got to be a record breaker right there. That's got to be one of those oddities, right?
Absolutely amazing, yep.
Yeah. And then longest tenured Cub, first baseman Anthony Rizzo, prepared hopefully for a monster season for him, looking to be in his best condition ever. He had 32 homers, 109 RBIs last year.
Yeah, I mean, the corner infield for the Cubs, you know, provided a lot of power. And that's exactly what your lineup is supposed to provide when you've got guys like that at the corners, with Chris Bryant, who goes from Rookie of the Year to National League Most Valuable Player. You know, and then you've got some options on the rest of the diamond. I mean, you've got Addison Russell had a pretty good spring, has a little bit of a back issue, but seems to be okay. You've also got Zobrist, the World Series MVP, and Javi Baez. So, I mean, it's going to be... going to be interesting to see how Joe Maddon uses the lineup and works guys in and out, because he's got tons of options with you know, Bryant being able to play pretty much third base in the outfield. You got Baez that can play first, second, third, and short, and of course Zobrist played a little bit of the infield and the outfield last year. So these are what we consider to be good problems to have if you're a manager of a ballpark.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's also, you know, I was looking to see where the game was on tonight, Andy, and I know it's always a crapshoot to figure out where they're on. but WGN-TV this year, 70 years with the Cubs, which is very, very cool. They've got 49 games. ABC7 has some. Comcast Sportsnet has some, or has the bulk of them, really. But tonight, the game against St. Louis is on ESPN.
Of course. They try to snake all the good games. You know, they try to get the opening nights. There's three games tomorrow, which is later today, I should say.
Yeah.
Which will open up the baseball season. Cubs will be the last game played, so they'll be in St. Louis. It'll be kind of ironic, not only the fact that they play their biggest rival, but they'll face one of the heroes of last year's team and the year before. In my opinion, they don't get to where they were without Dexter Fowler. It just didn't happen to work out in the budget, and there were needs at other positions that the Cubs felt, and Fowler signed a big money deal with the St. Louis Cardinals. He's going to be a tough guy to not like. Let's put it to you that way.
I know, but you know what? This is a team that honestly we hate, enjoy to hate playing. You know, especially it's the biggest rivalry in town, and to see him in a Cardinals uniform tonight is going to be really, really tough.
It's going to be tough, especially if he has a good game. That's going to be the hardest part. He's already infused a little life into the Cardinals from what I've been reading. They for the first time during spring training, they had music playing during their batting practice. They never usually did that. They never had any kind of looseness, I guess, around their team. And he's really kind of infused that. Into their program already, but hopefully that's where it ends.
Now, my son starts working for the Cubs next week. He's a guest ambassador, so he got
nice.
This gig. Yeah, he's very excited about it, like ridiculously excited about this. But we were looking at the schedule, because we have to see, as he's a sophomore in high school, like what games he can actually work. There are so many night games. I'm looking throughout the whole summer. There are very few 120 weekday games this season.
Yeah, that's the trend. I mean, that's this is what the Cubs envisioned way back when the lights went in, because there were all these, you know, all the talk about what the continuous amount of day games did to players and did to the way they were able to perform with all these night games all these night games on the road and then day games at home, and obviously the city had to work with the team at that point because of the neighborhood issues, but things seem to have kind of calmed down in that respect. And I think it's important for these guys to be able to play some night games at home, especially after travel. I remember a couple of times we'd be either in St. Louis or Los Angeles and play a Sunday night game, fly back, and have a Monday 1:20 game, which is just because you couldn't do anything about it because of the ordinances. So it's good to see that that's going down, and they get a little bit better rest and taken care of a little bit better.
Now, one thing I really enjoy is you're always posting pictures at WGNradio.com and on your own site, too, of Wrigley. I mean, you've been doing it for years, and they're fabulous pictures. Mm-hmm. But opening day at Wrigley is a week away. And, you know, I drive by there once in a while. You know, it never bothered me last summer because you saw mm-hmm. all the construction going on around the field. But when you were in the field, it looked beautiful. I mean, it was fabulous.
Right.
But there were trailers and cranes and stuff on the field like a week and a half ago. I'm assuming you're seeing some progress and we'll be ready next week.
Yeah, the field itself should be ready. I mean, a lot of the cranes and a lot of the construction is actually going on in the periphery, you know, the old bars were down on Clark and near the souvenir places and where the 7-Eleven used to be. So and also the hotel that's going in where the McDonald's used to
right.
be. So that's basically where a lot of the construction is. I'll be interested to see what the plaza looks like, because the office building is coming along very nicely. Earlier in the winter, they actually got the video board up on that.
Saw that.
On the facade there.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new entrance to the ballpark on that side, too, on the third base side.
Where, very bizarre. I know that's going to be very odd. Really, yeah.
It looks like it's been there for a long time, the way that they kind of matched it with the motif of the wrought iron on the outside of the building.
That's great.
And now it's in that area as well. It's a double-deck entrance, too, it looks like. So another way to get into the ballpark. And I know there's still some issues going on about whether or not the plaza is going to be available on non-game days. Things
right.
of that nature.
That'll
have to be worked. That'll have to be worked out. But you know, it's also going to be very weird because this is the first time ever that the bullpens will not be on the field of play. The bullpens have been relocated underneath the bleachers, so there are new, rather plush seats that are available down each of the lines where the pens used to be. You know, they said it was mainly for safety, and you know, I get it. We've seen over the years how many players have gone into foul territory and stumbled over the bullpen mound or had some trouble in that area with players sitting out there. So it'll be a new and rather unique look for Wrigley Field when everybody's so used to being so close to everything.
Yeah,
this is going to be something new.
Well, as long as I can find the Smoky Links and the Old Style, I think I'm going to be in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah, you're going to be okay in that respect.
I think I'm going to be okay.
If you can hunt down those ushers, you're good.
That's right. That's right.
You're good.
You're totally right. Just real quick, before I let you go, I was looking at the Vegas odds for the Cubs. They're right now 3-1 to win the World Series, and then followed by the Indians 12-1 and the Red Sox 10-1. So, obviously, Vegas primed for another World Series run. So, we're hoping for that as well.
Yeah, it would be nice to see. I mean, I kind of predicted that it would be the Cubs and the Red Sox. That would be a nice little fantasy
totally
World Series, especially with all the connections that the Cubs had with the Red Sox and vice versa. And now Chris Sale, the former White Sox over there. And that would be pretty interesting. But hey, this is a long season, and you never know what can happen injury-wise. You hope for good health. And you hope for good pitching, and that's pretty much what the Cubs will look for this year. They look as strong as they did last year, but again, the old saying in baseball is this is why they play the games. You never play the game on paper. They play it on turf or grass.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Andy Mazur, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, buddy.
You got it, Dave. Take care.
All right. Take care of yourself.